Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, it's Friday. What's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
It is a beautiful Friday in the ATL, Mike Bell. What is going on down there in Coweta County?
Hey, man. I made my meat run today because, of course, it's hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. And this is where, if you're new to the show, we started this during lockdown, and we're still grilling. And guys share their recipes and their photos of what they're doing. So I went over to Cleaver and the Cork and got myself some Spinellis. I'm going to ask Mike Conti how I cooked this, not to screw it up tonight. So I'm going to do meat with a side of meat, Carl. I'm going to do ribeyes or fillets with some Spinellis. And by the way, they're also doing a really, just I want to mention this before I forget, they're doing a nice raffle to win a big Komodo Joe grill, Carl, to help out the tornado victims down the south side. So any of their locations, and they're good, the Cleaver, the Cork and Cleaver folks, I always get it backwards, they're good friends with our buddies at Buckhead Butcher Shop. So yeah, man, good cause. Saw a bunch of listeners down there today. We're all picking up our meats.
Well, I tell you, that's always good because, you know, Mike, you know this. Once these kind of things happen, we're talking about the tornado that hit, and then, you know, you get past it a few weeks and people kind of forget, and it's still a lot of people suffering down there. So that's great, man, that they're giving away that and raising money. Hey, man, we got a lot to talk about today, a lot to get to. Charles Barkley will make his weekly visit by the program. We will get into the Redmond Zone with Charles, and if you've not tried Redmond Vodka or gin, it's absolutely delicious, and we'll talk to Charles about all things in the world of sports and beyond. That'll come your way at around 2:20 today. Braves are playing in Chicago, but I want to start, for those who missed yesterday, Mike, with Buster Olney at the end of the show, because Buster was great. And one of the things that Mike said, it was ironic, because Mike said, what about Austin Riley yesterday? And the Braves win, guys, and we're hoping that they play well in Chicago. Chicago's kind of slumping right now, and we'll see what happens over the weekend. But he said, what about Austin Riley? And I said, well, you know, they keep giving him time, and we'll see. And Buster Olney came on and talked about the Braves hitting woes. I want you guys to listen to this because, again, this has been our biggest issue. And then on top of that today, we got another injury to talk about. Chris, play it for him.
It's been a bit of a surprise. There's no doubt about it, because when you look at the lineup, and they obviously, with Acuna being as dominant as he is, I mean, it really does feel like. I did a dual interview yesterday with Ronald Acuna Jr. and Ozzie Albies, and I asked Ozzie, you know, what do you think the chances are that that Ronald goes 40-40 or 50-50, 40 homers, 40 steals, or 50 homers, 50 steals? And he was nodding his head, yeah, absolutely, he can do that. You know, you've got Freddie. Ozuna, I know, didn't get off to a great start, but you know he'll figure it out. I do think that during the course of the year, they absolutely have to get something out of Austin Riley. When you look at the structure of the lineup, the fact that, you know, Pache, as a rookie center fielder, he's an excellent defender. He's probably going to struggle offensively this year. They got to get something out of Austin Riley. It's an incredibly important year for him. And I think if they don't get consistent offense out of him, that you will see them in the trade market looking for help at third base. Because that, you know, to me is going to be a pivot point in that lineup.
That's the thing you and I talked about a lot. And I said, when is Austin Riley going to become the star he's supposed to be? Now, it's all in the eye of the beholder, okay? Maybe Dansby will never be a 280 hitter, okay? But I was wondering, when are we going to decide, Carl? And everyone always says, well, you know, small sample size. And then last year was just 60 games. And now, all right, but I mean, you know, Braves fans have to realize, not everybody who comes up from the farm system becomes Andrew or Chipper Jones, you know, or now Ozuna, or I should say Acuna or Albies. Austin Riley needs to get it in gear. Period.
Yeah, he has to. And listen, I know some of you are going to go, Dukes and Bell, wait a minute. What about these other guys? Freddie's not hitting well, not right now. It's Freddie.
Yeah.
There's consistency. There's a track record. I'm not worried about Freddie. Hell, I'm not worried about Acuna, even if he wasn't doing what he's doing right now. Because over the last 3 years, Acuna has proven, even in the biggest moments, I'm going to be here. So you start looking down this lineup, you go, well, Ozuna's not hitting. Nope, but guess what? He hit in St. Louis before he got here last year. He hit last year here. And why we signed him is because we know he'll hit in the future. When you have a track record, it's easier to defend guys and say, right, I believe in them. Austin Riley doesn't have that, guys. And so when Buster pointed that out yesterday, and he's right, and the biggest thing out of that comment was, Alex will go in the trade market and make a move. Because if your team is built for a World Series, and we think they are, you can't wait on Austin Riley, Mike, two more years when everything else is clicking, but you're not getting the production at third base. So check this out. Today, Aray Adaranza is at third base in for Austin Riley. Now, remember, Adaranza is a guy we've signed to be on the bench, bench help, pinch
utility guy, right, right.
So he's playing third base today. So we're 14 games into the season, and we're already seeing Snit tinker with the lineup, Mike, to try to figure out what's going to get him going. Guys, we bring it up because it's a big deal. We can talk about some of these other guys, but at the end of the day, this is a guy that's got to do what he needs to do, and he's not doing it right now.
Right. Jake Lamb was brought in to, I'm not saying pressure, but maybe have some depth at third base, and he got cut. They didn't work out with him, you know, this year in spring training. Sandoval can play third. Obviously, at this stage of his career, he's not exactly, you know, cat-like reflexes at the hot corner, but the guy obviously has been so unbelievably clutch with pinch hitting. But yeah, and again, I mean, it's not a knock. Austin, by every estimation, these are all good guys. It's not like it's an attack. And you always have to preface that with Braves fans getting all angry. But Austin Riley, it's time to pooper get off the pot. The team is three games under 500. We need some production now, period.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I know.
Pressure's on, Snit. I mean,
well, again, the good news is we can always make some moves. The bad news is it's Liberty Media won't have the money to make the moves that we need to make.
Well, listen, I think if everybody else is playing up to championship caliber, and we're not there yet, okay? I still got questions and marks about this pitching staff. And, oh, by the way, speaking of the pitching staff, Drew Smyly's now on the 10-day IL, and they brought up Kyle Wright. So there are still big issues, okay? Smyly, you signed in the offseason to be a part of the stable of your rotation. Soroka has yet to pitch, and Freed got hurt, and he's on the 10-day IL. So all of a sudden now, you know, the next few weeks, because it's a long season, how does this team adjust? Who steps up? Who pitches well? Those are concerns. But, Mike, in the lineup, a team that was second in the NL last year in all pretty much all categories, it's one of the reasons that got us to the NLCS, they're not hitting. And so if everybody steps up and starts hitting and this guy, Austin Riley, doesn't, then I truly believe that Double A will make a move. And I think the management will be behind him because if your team is that good and you're going, well, that's the one piece we're missing, you can't cheat us as fans. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 92.9. And follow this radio station at 92.9 The Game. Charles Barkley's on the way. We got a busy show today. We will talk to Steve Koonin, and we will talk about what the Hawks didn't do last night. Mike, I said it was a litmus test. Well, we didn't pass that one.
Well, two things. Trey and I, last night I went round and round with Hawks fans. I was telling Squidbilly earlier today, look, without John Collins, without all the weapons, DeAndre Hunter, it was going to be a tough battle. You know, obviously they had sort of a pitch count for Giannis last night. But one thing is for sure, they're big and they're physical. The Nets, the Bucks, the Sixers are big and physical. We looked like little kids at times last night against those guys. But Trey had some horrible, I mean, let's just call it what it is. If he's banged up, okay, I'll give him a bit of a pass, Carl. But, I mean, what are you doing? There's not much difference last night from between Trey and ISO Joe Johnson a couple of years ago. He's got to be better. I mean, I get it. He didn't have all his weapons, but still, he has to play better regardless. And I think a lot of Hawks fans got upset because it was a national audience and we didn't look like we were ready for prime time.
We didn't. We didn't, guys.
But even Charles, we'll ask Charles because Charles was kind of killing us. They can't even beat the Celtics. I'm like, well, we'll talk to Charles about it next because, I mean, we don't have all our guys out there.
All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now. Airplane. Airplane, guys. A-I-R-P-L-A-N-E. Airplane's the word. Text that to 72881 for your chance at $1,000. You're rolling around, you listen to Dukes and Bell, you go, man, these guys are cool. Thank you. You want $1,000? 72881 right now. Text the word airplane. all the rules and regulations at 92.9thegame.com/rules. Again, we'll give you another chance next hour right around 3:10, 3:12, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. Make sure you're listening. And then you have until the end of the hour to text the word. So make sure you do that, guys. Hey, Mike, couple of shout-outs today. One to Jackie's Fine Wine and Spirits off of Johnson Ferry Road. This is in my neck of the woods. They ordered a bunch of cases of Hey Man Ale. I put the pictures out there, not only of Hey Man, our original blonde ale, but also of Watermelon Lime, which is hot. So, guys, thank you. Jackie's Fine Wine and Spirits off of Johnson's Ferry. And I got to give a big shout-out to Carl Black Roswell, the GM dealer up there. Nick and Tommy, they're in the service department. I was taking one of my vehicles up there today, and they're big fans. And so they wanted me to give them a shout-out. So, guys, thank you guys for listening. Mike, we're all over the place, bro. We're all
Dude,
over the place.
Dude, we literally are like a NASCAR team. We got somebody. No, man, we appreciate you guys. Again, we always get the love and want to give it back to you guys. And, again, more chances to win $1,000. But the word right now, airplane to 72881. Our man, Charles Barkley. We're really excited, Carl, to get Charles back on the show.
Yeah, it's been a minute. He had a lot going on, so he took a little break. But he's back, and you never know what's going to be said. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Charles Barkley joins us next. A minute, because our man's been pretty busy, but we wanted to get him back on the show, and he is going to start making his weekly visits back on the program, Mike, which means more Redmont vodka.
Yeah, baby. Bring that vitamin V, Chuckles.
Redmont Zone with Charles Barkley here on the WaitForward.com hotline. Of course, if you've not tried it, we keep telling you guys, you got to check out Redmont Vodka,
Smooth.
Redmont Gin. It is delicious. Chuck, what's going on, bro?
Man, I'm done with hell. I mean, March Madness. Oh, man. That's like, hey, man, that's like a real job, man.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I got to ask you this, though. Those commercials, they made the tournament for me with you and Samuel and Spike. Talk about that process real quick. How long did it take you guys to film all of that with Jim Nance? It was great, man.
Well, we spent four days in L.A., and which was a pain because, you know, it was when L.A. was closed down. Ooh. So we went straight. We got up every morning at 6, worked about 8 hours, 10 hours. And then went right back to the hotel and had room service. We were there for 4 days. We did about 6 weeks before March Madness. And, man, let me tell you something. Sam is the best. I mean, he is so helpful, you know, because, like, I want to do good. I mean, I'm with Sam and Spike. I'm the only one who don't know what the hell they're doing. But you know, Sam has been so helpful for me, man. I can't thank him enough. And it's fun, though. And I think that Capital does a really good job where they're like, hey, you guys make the commercials funny. Because one thing I know about Sam will say, hey, I'm not doing that. That's not funny and it's not good. hey, let me tell you something. You can hear a pin drop when he says it too. He's like, who wrote this? And nobody says anything. And then everybody look around and say, he says again, who wrote this? And then somebody comes up and says, I did. He says, it's not funny. And we're not saying it and we're not doing it. And then he's like, well, do it how you want to, Sam. And he says, okay. But he's always right, man. He's amazing to work with.
It is Charles Barkley with his guys in the Redmont Zone. Again, it's a fantastic vodka. You can find it. They've also got the Vulcan Gin. You can find it anywhere. If you don't have it in your package store, ask them to get it. I know they're selling a ton over here in the A. All right, man, I saw you last night on the Hawks. I got to tell you, brother, Hawks fans were getting hot because you were not giving us any shot. We were banged up, Chuck. That's not our best shot last night against the Bucks. We're missing some big pieces right now in the A.
Yeah, I just didn't like the competitive nature of the game. That's that, you know, you made a little run, but you didn't make, I didn't see that grittiness that I've been looking for. You know, I've been high on the Hawks all year now. Mm-hmm. You know, I picked y'all to make the playoffs, but y'all just, I didn't see that fight. When you got the team, one of the teams to beat come to town, you got to make it a dogfight. You got to make it a slugfest. And they were just going out there, running up and down the court, playing basketball. Mm. I mean, you can tell when it's a big game. Y'all seen big games before. It has to be competitive. And that game last night wasn't competitive.
Wasn't. Not at all. But, Charles, you know what's bugging me. It's Charles Barkley, guys, in the Redmont Zone here on Dukes and Bell. This load management, bro. I mean, I got to ask you, because Mike and I talked about this yesterday. And the other night, I turned on the Nets game. I wanted to see the Nets. I wanted to see the Sixers and how Embiid was going to play. And half the Nets team wasn't even on the field or the court. And I'm thinking to myself, What is going on here? You guys didn't take days off. This cannot be good for the NBA, Charles.
Well, it's not going to be good for the NBA. And I think at some point the fans are going to say, wait a minute, especially when guys go east-west, where you only play there one time a year. Right. I mean, like, you know, yeah, I says, I want to see LeBron play. If he come to the East Coast one time a year, you know, I want to see James Harden and KD play. But listen, I think at some point the owners are going to get pissed because the fans are already mad. I mean, the fans started complaining a couple of years ago when guys felt like – and the thing that drives old guys like myself crazy,
right,
it's not like they're flying commercial like we flew commercial. You know, I'm like, wait, we flew commercial. We had to get up at 5 in the morning and go to the airport and sit in the airport for 2 hours and catch a flight.
Right.
Now, I can understand. But now, you know, they all got their own planes. They can relax, get a hot meal on the plane, get a good night's sleep. And, you know, and then it make things worse. Remember a couple of years ago, Adam stopped, let them play back-to-back games.
Yep. Right.
So, you know, I think it's disrespectful to the game, and I think it's disrespectful for the fans. I really hate the term load management. I really do.
I mean, we were joking around about it because we hate to sound like old guys, but back in the day, and you were part of back in the day, I had Bullets tickets. When the Bullets were terrible, the Suns came to town, Sabalas, Chambers, all you guys played. You know, it wasn't a thing. So my point is we got our money's worth. I don't know how you build the brand, especially when these tickets aren't cheap. You bring your kid to go see somebody, and he's not playing that night.
Well, that's the one thing I really admire about LeBron. LeBron always plays. James Harden always plays. Steph Curry always plays. But and I tell you what really drives me crazy. When guys who can't play use load management. That's what really pisses me off. Like, I can only listen, if a guy's a superstar and he's played in the playoffs, you know, if he go deep in the playoffs for 5 or 6 years, and then, you know, some of these guys play during the Olympics, I can understand it. But when guys who can't play are taking days off, that's when I really get frustrated. And then the second thing, they start load management from, like, the beginning of the season. Like, play 30 or 40 games, it's like, okay, we know where we're going to be. I can give you a break. But we have guys taking load management, like, the first 2 weeks of the season, and that should never happen.
Charles Barkley, our guest, guys, in the Redmond Zone with Charles, brought to you by Redmond Vodka. Make sure you check it out. All right, I don't want to start a blank show, but I got to ask this question because this got a big response from our audience earlier this week. Should fans, pick your sport, Charles, be required to get vaccines before we get back to full capacity? Earlier in the week, the Buffalo Bills came out and said, oh, hey, no vaccine, you're not coming in. Should teams make that a part of fans who want to come back? What's your take on this?
You know, that's a great question. That's a really good. I want to say I got my second shot last week, and I was excited to get it, and I couldn't wait to get it. And I want all the black people out there, please go get your vaccine. And listen, we know about history, but please go get the vaccine. And I said, I get nervous when celebrities talk about not getting the vaccine because there's two things that bother me. Number one, they're not going to get the same care as regular black folks or regular poor folks. If you're a celebrity and got money, you're going to go to the best hospitals if you get sick. So I don't want celebrities telling black folks and dark skinned people not to get the vaccine. But the second thing is, which is probably more significant, if a normal person missed 1 month, 2 months out of work, it could be financial disaster for them. So I really worry about celebrities telling people not to get the vaccine because we don't know people's medical situation and we definitely don't know their financial situation. So I encourage people to get the vaccine. Now, your question is interesting. Because some people don't want the vaccine. I think it's just stupid. Some people might say it for religious reasons. They don't want it. So I think you have to be careful saying you can't come to the game. But if you don't want the vaccine, you should wear a mask if you go to the game. I truly believe that.
Right. And that's the thing, man. We just want to get back to it. I mean, we missed the action. I mean, the Hawks are an exciting team. We want to be able to see it in person. Charles Barkley is with us, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Back with us, brought to you by our buddies at Redmond Vodka. All right, Charles, man, we just talked about the Bucks. Saw them last night. Who do you like in the East? Do you feel now with the Sixers and the fact that they got Doc in there, they finally got a coach can maybe figure out this team, or do you still say the Nets are going to be the team to beat? Because there's so much physicality and so much star power right now, top-heavy Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I that's a great question also. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm scared to death to pick one of those three because I don't think you would be shocked if either one of the three won. I want you to know I'm rooting against the Nets because I just don't like the way they put their team together, partnering up with guys. And James, the man, and I'm only going to Brooklyn. So I'm not a super team guy. But listen, I'm rooting for the Sixers because I'm a homer. You know, Philly's my – that's why I got grew up as a man in Philly. And I love being a 76er. I love being a son too. But so if I – but I'm not going to be shocked – And listen, let me tell you something. I would love to see Milwaukee win because, you know, Giannis didn't – you know, because everybody thought Giannis was going to leave after this year. And he said, no, I want to win in Milwaukee. So I'm really probably rooting for Giannis more than anybody. But listen, I'm not going to be shocked if Brooklyn, Philly, or Milwaukee won. But that's going to be a hell of a series. I tell you what's going to be great, though. The team that gets to avoid one of the other, I think, going to be in great shape. Because teams don't have to play both of them. I think that's why they're getting the number one seed, they've got a one-game lead now. I think having that one seed is going to be huge because you're going to have – whether you play Brooklyn or Milwaukee or Philly, that's going to be a knockdown, drag-out series in the second round of the playoffs. So you got to avoid one of those teams. And I think, to be honest with you, you're probably going to have a cakewalk to the Eastern Conference Finals if you're the number one seed.
That's a great point. Charles Barkley, our guest, guys. Before we let you go, I know you always talk about your college experience. We won't talk about how much money you made in college, all right? But what I want to ask you is the NCAA Division I Council is now going to allow athletes in all sports, Charles, to transfer.
Free for all.
One time. Immediately being eligible. How many years have we talked about this? I go somewhere, I don't like it, coach leaves, coach gets fired. I want to leave, but yet I have to go somewhere else and sit out. Finally, they're going to change this, Charles. What do you think?
Well, you know, the NCAA, they have a bunch of Barney fights walking around and don't know how to shoot a gun. They always reactive. They never react. They should have did this years ago, number one. And I tell you what, I'm really concerned where the game is going because the NCAA, they're such boneheads. You think about it, this name and image and likeness thing, you know, I think I don't know how this thing going to work out. I really don't. Everybody think it's going to be great. I don't think it's personally going to be great because I think it's going to bring a lot of animosity between teammates. Because you think about this. Who in college, who jerseys are you going to buy? The quarterback or the running back and maybe the wide receiver? You're not going to buy the linebacker's jersey. You're not going to buy the offensive line jerseys. Who's going to get the car commercials? The quarterback and the running back. And I think there's going to be so much resentment on these teams. Like, yo, man, I'm doing all the work blocking for you. You drive up in here in a nice car. Everybody's wearing your jersey. You're getting a piece of that pie. Like, what the hell am I getting out of it? So I think this name and likeness thing is going to be very interesting. It's going to be crazy to sit back and watch how it goes. I think another problem is, think about it. If I'm a kid, I'm like, okay, where can I go to college to sell the most merchandise? Where can I get the best car deal? I think it's really like, I'm not going to Georgia State. I'm going to Georgia because I'm not going to get no – and listen, this is the stuff kids going to be thinking about going forward. They're going to be saying, listen, Georgia State might be a great school, but if I'm a kid, I'm not getting commercials at Georgia State. I'm going to Georgia. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to Auburn or Tennessee because I'm going to make money while I'm in college. And that's what scares me about this name and likeness thing.
And again, I just think the rich get richer. At the end of the day, I just think the same top 25 and all sports could be the same, right?
100% agree with you. Well, you know, it's already the haves and have-nots. It's really going to be the haves, and we don't care about the have-nots. And I'm glad you agree, man. I tell people, man, I want the players to be taken care of, but we're going to have so much, we're going to have zero parity going forward in the next 10, 15 years.
Charles, it's always good to hear you, man. Enjoy watching you as always. Check him out, guys. You know where to find him on TNT. Redmont Vodka and Gin. You've got to try it. It's the Redmont Zone with Charles Barkley. Chuck, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Hey, y'all have a great weekend. Hit that ball straight, too.
Trying to, man. We got plenty more to get to, guys, coming up. We'll tell you what's going on this weekend, including Atlanta United starting their MLS schedule. And also the Hawks. Some guys, Mike, totally going in on Trey. As you said, he looked lackadaisical last night. And the effort, I didn't understand what the deal was. We'll dive into it coming up on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. It's why you don't want to miss any day of this show. Never know who's going to be on. Never know who's going to say whatever it is they're going to say. People hit me up already saying, you know, talking about Charles, talking about black folks getting the shot. And we've not really talked about this, Mike, but the stigma that goes along with vaccines and you know, what's happened to this country. And there is a fear. And I think that's why you've seen, as he said, a lot of celebrities coming out saying, hey, look, I'm fine. I'm gonna get it. But I do think he makes a valid point because, money means the difference of health care, right?
Right.
It just does.
And again, I know that we've said this before. When you see a headline, it's all in the presentation, too. If you find that six people, you know, like I saw a thing last night about a man in his 30s that got the blood clot from one of the vaccinations. I think it was the Johnson & Johnson. And it's still only, Carl, less than 10. Now, again, it doesn't matter if it's your family. You are one of the 10, but 10 people out of 7 million vaccinations.
Right.
I mean, the odds should be in your favor, but people don't want to even, you know, crunch those numbers. The media doesn't present it that way. But either way, there has been a stigma about the vaccinations for everybody, and including, you know, for minorities. And minority vaccination numbers have not been where they need to be. That was Charles' initial point, which I was trying to explain to a couple of guys on Twitch earlier during the break.
Yeah, and again, if you don't know the history of some of the events that have happened, then that might be, it might sound naive, but it really isn't. And when you've had, you know, your grandmothers and your great-grandmothers tell you things about being vaccine and being careful, and then that stigma is passed down the line, you become hesitant. And so then it's become, you know, well, should I get this? Should I not? Is this really what they say it is?
Right.
And, you know, I think hopefully, you know, again, and I've told you guys, I got the vaccine and I'm getting my second shot as well. And the bottom line is I think it's going to help me get back on track to what, you know, I want my life to be. And I hope that most people see it that way. But more importantly, it's just going to help us all get back to doing the things that we want to do.
Right. As we had that conversation last week, I mean, I'm looking forward to when I can get mine now. And the one I wanted now is not available, so I may have to pivot on that. Hey, man, speaking of the vaccinations, and I know we're going to talk about it in the headlines, but I know that while we were talking to Charles, the news came out right as we got on the air at 2, that because of, under the guise, Carl, and I'll say under the guise, of COVID concerns and the protocols being followed, some Falcon players, and we don't know who, are going to opt out of the voluntary portion of the workout. You and I brought this up earlier in the week. I think some teams, like it's an individual issue. If you've got a young family, all those things Carl and I just talked about with COVID concerns. I cannot help, though, on some level, Carl, to think that creeping into that is the fact that these guys still don't like the CBA and the fact that they have to go to the voluntary workouts.
I agree. I think that that's probably, Mike, if everything was normal, okay, and we know it's not completely, but it's getting there. It's moving in that direction. Then this wouldn't be a discussion. But now that it is, it does give them, and I don't want to say that they're copping out, but it gives them an out. And here's the thing for me with our Falcons, and I'm just specifically talking about the Falcons. No other team in the NFL, I'm just going to say about the Falcons. We got a new coach. We got a new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteer workouts gives you a chance to get acclimated to some of the things that are going to be implemented as we get closer to mandatory workouts and then ultimately camp. Guys will tell you this doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't. But with a new coach and a new coaching staff, this is the kind of year that I would like to see guys showing up and putting in the work to maybe get us ready for those not the voluntary, but the mandatory workouts.
Right.
And then, you know, getting ready for camp. So that's the thing that kind of bugs me. But then again, to your point, Mike, I can't tell guys what's safe for them and what's not. But I, if you ask me as a fan, I don't like it. I'm hoping our team gets in as much work as possible. Because here's the deal with me. I'm tired of excuses. You know, all the time we find ourselves making excuses. Well, you know, these guys didn't have as much time to work out. Is that something we're going to bring up now? You know?
Well, that's just it. I mean, like, I get it. We've gone around and around about this. If you feel that, you know, the NFL, you think that the NFL teams, they get everybody in, for blanks and giggles. No, there's work to be done. And again, I kind of found it ironic in the press release that the Players Association put out, specifically about the Falcons, talked about, well, you know, and obviously, you know, we want to be concerned about injuries. And there were more injuries last year because he didn't have all the regular workouts. You know what I mean? That's what I took from this.
Yeah.
Injury data and game performance last year show that a virtual offseason is beneficial. No, it's not. We don't know what you're doing. A virtual offseason, we had more soft tissue injuries and more star offensive players out than any season I can remember. And you want to equate that to the fact we didn't have a normal build-up to the season? I think some guys would say that's the case, but I can't roll with what they're selling right now, to be honest with you.
We're going to do something!
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
But I'm with you, bro. I mean, we as Falcon fans, you want everybody in there, everybody, you know, pulling the same rope in the same direction, whatever metaphor you want to use. And unfortunately, that's maybe not going to be the case with a new regime coming in, which is, you know, I mean, to the casual fan, that kind of irks you a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if we had won 3 straight Super Bowls, I'd be telling you right now, I don't care. We haven't. So that's where I'm at with this whole thing. Players, we'll see what happens with this. More on this coming up a little bit later on in the show. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Chris behind the glass, our engineer. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Mike, what was wrong with Trey last night?
Yeah, look, if he's not 100%, then let's let the other guys bring the ball up and give Luce more minutes, and that'll be the game plan. I didn't really get it. I mean, and I get what Charles was saying last night. I mean, the sense of, like, urgency. You know, we've seen, I got to be honest with you, at times this is the stuff that drove us crazy during the Lloyd Pierce run, is Trey doesn't get the other guys involved soon enough. And then we're throwing up bad shots. Trey dribbles under the basket and nothing comes of it. You know, he got the floater going a few times. I think at one point, I think he scored 9 or 12 points of all the Hawks' points in the third and fourth. But it's just, I don't know why he doesn't know when to hit the gas and then when to, you know, get the other guys involved. That's still a thing with Trey.
Well, let's hear from Nate McMillan on Trey Young and specifically last night. What happened?
Well, he's in uniform. And he was on the floor, you know, so we're not going to put guys on the floor if they're not ready to go. And, you know, so he was in uniform. He didn't have a good shooting night. He had some turnovers tonight. And, you know, that could be from the lack of rhythm. Hasn't played in the last couple of games.
Made all his points really from the stripe. He was, as you said, Carl, 3 of 17, 6 turnovers for Trey. But as the coach said, if he's out there, he's expected to perform at a high level.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Let's hear from Brian Snicker. One of the reasons we've won some of the games we've won with the Braves is our bench, specifically Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, amazing what he's done. I don't know the guys do that an entire year. I don't know anybody a pinch hitter's had multiple run homers. You know, in a year over 162, let alone where we're at.
So it's one of the things that right now you can go, all right, that's good. Let's keep having these guys come off the bench and get hits in big game situations or big, you know, clutch, high leverage situations.
Right.
Meanwhile, Braves at Cubs today will keep you updated. We'll go around the yard at 5:40 today on what's going on with the Braves. And if you missed our interview with Buster Olney, again, online at odyssey.com. Great stuff from Buster talking about our team. Braves will be on Sunday Night Baseball, by the way. Cubs, Braves, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. Buster told us he's got an exclusive interview with Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies sitting together and talking. He said, you don't want to miss it. So I'm excited to see that on Sunday night for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. Hey, let's talk about the draft real quick, Mike. Bill Belichick, you think the Patriots are going to make a move to go get a quarterback?
Go make a move, Bill. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, now maybe they're the guys that are going to go get Mac Jones. I still can't believe Mac in the top five. Exactly. But if they want to talk about coming up to talk to us, I'd love to move back, and we could do everything you've been talking about. You and I could get the running back where it makes sense, a corner. You know, we talked about offensive line yesterday. But, yeah, Belichick needs a quarterback of the future, right?
Yeah. So listen to what he said.
It's an interesting class. You know, it's an interesting group of guys, and some have some, you know, very strong in some skills. Some are seem very strong in other skills. So it's, you know, it's definitely an interesting group.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mumbles Belichick, breaking it down for you.
I don't know if you got anything out of that. Hey,
some are big, some are small, some are fast, some are strong.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Atlanta United this weekend, Mike, Saturday against Orlando. We don't like Orlando.
No, let's hope that Orlando doesn't know what we're bringing to the table because of all our new pieces. But I'm telling you, man, Barco, this is maybe – I know we've been – we just talked about Austin Riley, waiting for Riley to show up. Maybe this is finally the year with Hintze as coach that Barco blossoms into the playmaker he's supposed to be.
Speaking of the Hawks, guys, they are going to have another Unity Night, this one against the Miami Heat, Friday, April 23rd at 7:30, presented by State Farm. Grab your tickets at hawks.com/tickets. Learn more about Unity Nights at hawks.com/MLK. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. More about what Mike and I just discussed. Falcons, not all, some, opting out of the voluntary workouts. And I know what you're saying. They're volunteer. We'll get back into that. But I'll tell you this, Mike. Justin Fields has moved up when it comes to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you about it next.
Are we going to do something?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.